Welcome to the website of Living in Jesus, listening to the Bible explaining programs. May the Word of God bless you every day with your listening.
Let me ask you guys a question to think about as we get started with our message today. I want you to think about this question. Why? Do you ever ask God why? Think about that for a moment and think, are there places in my life where I have to think and question God, and I'm just filled with the question why? I don't think my deal is working. You might have to go. Yeah, appreciate it. So we ask the question, why? And there's times where you think about this question and it's perplexing because the circumstances of your life create a situation where you say, I don't understand, God. I don't understand why you're silent. I don't understand how you're working. And I'm just here perplexed. And I'm asking the question, why? Because of the circumstances in my life. Lynn and I struggled when early on in our marriage with a very significant issue that took a toll on our marriage. And that was after we had been married for a number of years and we had gone through graduate school and made a couple of moves and done a lot of difficult things that you do trying to establish your marriage, establish your work environment, your church environment, get settled. And then we prayed and we were like, okay, we want to start a family now. And we thought it would just be an easy decision and that family would come along just like that. But that was not the case. We ended up going through years of infertility and a very, very difficult time. We even ended up going through all kinds of doctor's appointments and visits and surgeries in order to try to understand this. And all during that time, we were asking this question, God, why? We want to start a family. Why is this taking so long? We don't understand. It was a struggle. And so maybe you've felt like that in your own times of life, that there's challenging questions that you just go to the Lord and say, why? I don't understand. You don't understand his silence. You don't understand sometimes his answer or how he's working, or especially we don't understand timing. Timing. It leads us to pray. Next slide. And what we're going to look at today as we close this study in the book of Habakkuk is these two words, praise and praise. And I want you to hear those two words. Obviously, there's a play on words there. But what we're going to learn about our focus character, Habakkuk, this prophet that we've been tracking with these last few weeks, He prays here in chapter 3, the closing chapter. He prays diligently and he prays for many things and for verses. And some of it is hard to understand the concept in this prayer. But it all leads to the very last few verses where he turns from praise, his prayer, to praise, his worship. His understanding, what he's learned through this journey these last few weeks of questioning God and asking these tough things of him, to hearing God's response, and after he processes these responses from God, it leads him to a worship, to an adoration, to a praise, praise. And so in this short book, as we've continued to go through this together, this is the series. This is our, when God doesn't what? When God doesn't, whatever, fill in the blank for yourself. When he seems to be silent. When he seems to frustrate us. When we have complaints. That's the difficulty that we've been looking at. And for Habakkuk to understand 600 BC can be the same kind of difficulty, same kind of questions, same kind of faith in troubled times that we have. Habakkuk, as we've tracked these last three messages, these troubled times that are facing his people, he's brought those troubled issues, those things that have challenged him, and he's voiced them to God. He thought about them, he brought them to God, and he talked to God, and he said, I just want to bring you some complaints here. Now, it sounds like a crybaby. Like, okay, why are you complaining to God? But remember, we talked about the fact that this is a special type of actual prayer that Habakkuk has been bringing before our Heavenly Father. They're called laments, a prayer of lament, where he's crying out for the difficulty, the depth of his heart, the difficulty of his situation. And he cries them out to God. God, I don't understand. Remember, one of those first prayers that he prayed was, how long, God, will you go where I don't hear from you? Where my people don't hear from you? That you're not answering our prayer. You seem silent. But it's not a complaint like we would understand it today. It would be a lament, a heart cry to God. Why, God, do you not hear? And if you do hear, why are you not helping? Those were the cries that were coming from Habakkuk. He questions God, and it seems like it's faithlessness, but it's actually a deeper intimacy with God. He's going deeper by bringing these things to him. And I hope that as you've been tracking along these last 3 weeks and into today's message, that you'll feel and understand exactly how God worked with Habakkuk, and we can feel a lot like Habakkuk by the end of this series today, that it could lead to a deeper intimacy with God. Here's the outline. We're coming to the last part of it. Chapters 1 and 2 were these questions, these problems, these complaints. Habakkuk knows them, observes them, brings them to God. And then God, each time in chapters 1 and 2, to each of the questions, each of the complaints, God has a response. He answers Habakkuk's questions. But remember, they're not always the way that Habakkuk would have expected. And maybe you're reading along and thinking the same thing. How would God answer the question that way? Remember, one of the key things, he says, I am listening to you and I am acting, I am working, but I'm going to use this evil Babylonian empire to answer the key questions that you have, to bring judgment on all this stuff going on in your world. The wickedness, the evil, the immorality of Babylon was much, much greater than what Habakkuk was complaining about was going on in his own people's culture. But God's answer was, I'm going to use Babylon to bring judgment on his own people. And that made Habakkuk scratch his head. He didn't understand. But in this final question, this final chapter, we're going to see that God's answers provided enough understanding, enough reality check in Habakkuk that it changed his perspective. And even though my circumstances were difficult, and I know that you're working and you're giving me answers, I still have questions. But because of who you are and because of your grace and mercy in my life, I'm going to be faithful enough to trust you, even despite the circumstances of my life. So folks, as you hear this introduction, I hope that it's resonating in your world. When we have questions, when we ask why, when we feel like the circumstances of our life are so heavy that we've brought them to God and God doesn't seem to answer, or the timing just keeps on going, we're caught in this waiting, what do we do? And we're going to learn that Habakkuk, he replies or responds to God's understanding and God's working with praise in the person the power and the plan of God. And that, I hope that's a great word for every one of you. Understand the person, the power, and the plan of God in your life and in your circumstances. These 19 verses can be split up really into two sections. It's the praise part. Habakkuk is saying a prayer. You see it right from the beginning of verse 1. And then it ends with praise, P-R-A-I-S-E. And that's a good way to remember it. And so I would encourage you, because I don't have all of verses on the screen, I just have some of them. So track along in your own Bibles or on your own device. And we're going to read this final chapter. I'd asked you to read that this week. I hope you did and kind of reflected on chapter 3. So let's read together Habakkuk chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. You can see that there's a prayer there that is going on. And this prayer continues. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled, and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea? When you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots, you uncovered your bow, you called for many arrows. The mountains saw you and wreathed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows. At the lightning of your flashing spear, in wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. Verse 16, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Verse 17, 18, and 19. Pay close attention to these three verses. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. And then he closes with just a kind of a parenthesis. This is for the director of music on my stringed instruments. That little tagline at the very end of the book is just a reminder that this prayer that started in verse 1 is like a psalm. Most of psalms are written in song format. This is a song, a prayer that the prophet Habakkuk pours back to God. This is his closing statement after opening the book with questions and complaints, having this dialogue for two chapters with God, and now he closes with, okay, God, I trust you, I understand you, I'm going to pray to you and recognize your power, I'm going to recognize who you are, and I'm going to recognize the plan that you have. Even though I might ask why, and I might question it, I'm still going to give you praise and adoration. And he does it in the context of this song. And so I hope as you read this, your soul will be encouraged. Habakkuk has learned that trust God even when we don't understand him. Trust God even when we don't understand him. Remember last week, we looked at verse 4 of chapter 2. It's one of the most famous verses in the Old Testament. The just shall live by faith. That was a key thing for God to say to Habakkuk and for Habakkuk to understand in this whole conversation, this whole dialogue. Habakkuk begins by questioning and complaining to God. Let's advance the slides. But he learns that in the end, he needs to trust in the person, the power, and the plan. One of the things that is important here in the next slide. In this, there's hope that Habakkuk has in the midst of this despair. This very difficult situation that he describes can be the very situation that we might be encountering. Whatever our situation might be. It might be a physical situation, like my mom getting ready to start chemotherapy treatments. Or a very tough situation with a school relationship, a fellow student or a teacher. Or a workplace situation that's so heavy. Whatever the circumstance might be, in the midst of that despair and difficulty and trial, Habakkuk is experiencing hope that God is in control and that there needs to be trust there. In the person of God, the power of God, and the plan of God. And we can learn that all. Look at that's this is the way those verses break down, and that's what we're going to look at as we follow along today. Next slide. I have a study Bible, New King James Study Bible, and in this they have this quote there, and I love this quote. The more we know about the planner, capital P, the more we can trust his plan. That's a great encouragement to every one of us. And the more we know about the planner, the more we can trust his plan. We usually complain more, have more questioning when we don't know the planner as well. But as we deepen our walk and journey and relationship with him, we can trust his plan in our life. I hope you hear that big time. Next slide. The first section here, verses 1 through 3, is where Habakkuk, he says, I'm praying, and I'm praying to God, the person who I need to understand. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, according to Shigonoth. O Lord, I have heard the report of you. I've heard what you've said to me. And your work, O Lord, because he detailed that in last chapter 2. O Lord, I fear. Okay, do I fear or be afraid, whatever your scripture says. That's a way of saying, I'm in awe of you. I'm in reverence of you. I have heard the report from you. I've heard your work and how you're going to do this plan. I'm in awe of that because I don't understand it. I still ask that question, why? In the midst of the years, remember there was a waiting time where he didn't understand why this waiting, why this silence, why this seeming non-work in my situation. Again, put yourself in Habakkuk's steps of feet. In the midst of the years, revive it, renew it. Bring revival in my life, bring renewal so that my relationship with you can deepen in intimacy. Remember, we talked about that. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. I'm trusting you. He's pouring this out intimately with his Heavenly Father. You know, we have the full entire 66 books of the Bible at our use. It's on your devices. We can get to it just like that. Habakkuk only had some of the Bible at his disposal back then. And with that deep level of trust and faithfulness, he said, I don't understand. I don't have all the answers, but you do. And I trust it. So even though we have the entire Bible to study, Habakkuk didn't. We have the record of life, death, resurrection, the ascension of Christ, as well as the promise of his coming again. If any people ought to walk by faith and rejoice in the Lord, it should be us. It should be the church today. Yet too often we doubt, we complain, we don't know where this is. We don't know how to find something if we're only relying on our devices. We haven't gotten deep into this. The gift that God's given of himself, the revelation to us, we've got to deepen our walk in this book. Yet we even criticize what God is doing and we complain when our needs, our prayers aren't answered the way we want them or when we want them. Habakkuk shows us how to deal with this problem. Notice over these last three chapters, he admits them honestly. He goes honestly to God and says, this is what's going on. This is what my heart is feeling right now. So admit them honestly to God. Talk to God about them. That's what Habakkuk did. And then he waited. When God said, I am working, but you got to wait. I am at work. That's the hardest part usually for us, is the waiting for God to answer. But when he does speak, are we listening and are we obeying? That's a great question for every one of us. That's what Habakkuk came to understand. And in this 19-verse prayer of chapter 3, he pours that out. God may want to use the difficulties in our life and the waiting to strengthen our faith. The just will live by faith. When we know the planner, we'll trust the plan. Pastor Warren Wiersbe says this, never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. Never doubt in the dark when things are tough what God has told us in the light when we are tight with him. Never doubt it. The second section of this is, next slide. It is at this verse here, God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. And then he uses this little word. I didn't say it when I read it, but some of your Bible translations have that little word that's in yellow, Salah. It's an interesting little phrase here. And I'm going to come to that in just a second. Next slide. So in this second section, verse 3, verse 9, verse 13, it's kind of spread out. We're going to come to this little word where we understand the power of God. In that prayer, Habakkuk, first three verses, talk about the person of God. All right? Adoration, that's how we usually start our prayer. But then he goes on and sort of gives a history lesson of God's work in Israel's history. The wonderful works of the Lord. It's a poetic description of all those verses. You talked about nature. You talked about power. This description of God's power does not seem to follow any kind of pattern, but it does give the main events of Jewish history. You can see where the Red Sea was in there, and if you followed along and studied it, you'd see that. But Habakkuk knew that God had worked in the past, and therefore he could trust him to work in Habakkuk's future. God has worked in the past. We can trust him for our futures. These vivid memories from verses 4 through 12 detail a lot of Israel's history. Next slide. And so during that history lesson, there's those three little words that are inserted, those three verses. And it's a powerful. Remember I said it was a song, it's like a psalm it's poetic. And so this little word, Salah, is 72 times used in Scripture, but 71 times, only here in Habakkuk, and then the rest of the time it's in Psalms. The Hebrew word means to exalt or to lift up. And the fact that we know it was a song, like the appendix said, after verse 19, and it's with stringed instruments, it's like something in a worship service. It's like to exalt or to lift up, but it's a meaning of to pause, to slow down, to reflect or meditate. That's what Selah means. And so he uses it really key places, verses 3, 9, and 13, to get us to stop for a moment, to think about the person, the power, and the plan of God. That he is at work, and Habakkuk is recognizing that. It's elevating, it's lifting up, but it's remembering. And that's what those verses, verses 4 through 12, are all about. He continues and then comes to the third and final section of the prayer. And that is understanding the plan. Habakkuk didn't understand it at first. He even questioned God back about the answer, how he was going to work. But now that God unfolds it a little bit more, the scrolls a little more pulled out, Habakkuk is totally in chapter 3 about, I understand, and I'm going to praise you. I'm going to trust you fully. Even though I don't understand the timing, even though I questioned you, I'm going to fully trust your plan. Habakkuk comes to the place where his worship of God is not contingent upon the circumstances. Have you ever felt like that in your life? My worship is affected by my circumstances. Habakkuk was learning a very valuable lesson, because life can be brutal for us at times. Becoming a follower of Jesus does not exempt us from trials or difficulties or speed bumps in our road. We're going to have challenges. So often it is easier to worship God through good circumstances than when we face hardships and difficulty. Habakkuk has come to the place where even if trials and distress continue, he will choose to rejoice in the Lord. Let's look at what some of these verses say. You went out for the salvation of your people. This is the plan. So he's still praying, but he's reflecting. God, you went out. The purpose of your plan here is for salvation of people, for the salvation of your anointed. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fall, then in the field yield no, or fail, in the fields yield no food, the flock be out of the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. These are the tough circumstances that Habakkuk can think of. We can put our own situations and stories in those same lines. Even if all this stuff is happening in my life, I had a tough SAT score. It's not going to help me get into the college I want to. Things are difficult in my work environment. I'm not getting that bonus this year. Whatever the difficulty might be, that's, you can see, though all these things are happening, let's look what. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Even in the difficulty, God can use those circumstances to point out a deepening faith. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Folks, we have to rethink when life circumstances are difficult. We got to find the joy that comes in the Lord. Even when we've had these why questions, this is an irrepressible joy that is coming forth out of Habakkuk. God, the Lord is my strength. He's my joy. I rejoice. He makes me feel like the feet of the deer. I can get to the highest places. Can you feel Habakkuk's joy in the midst of two chapters of complaining? It shifts that quickly because of the trust. Are you ready to yet rejoice in the Lord with the circumstances of your life when they're weighing heavy? We need to be patient. We need to trust God and understand that His plan is being worked out. The person, the power, and the plan is being worked out by God, our Heavenly Father, who cares for us and loves us. He's not abandoned us. He's not forgotten us. He's waiting in His time to work His plan perfectly in our life. Whatever happens, I will praise you. Yet I will rejoice. Next slide. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I hope you highlight that verse. I hope you underline it. I hope you take it with you. I have a men's group that I've been meeting with for over 20 years. We meet once a week. And sometimes we get key verses like this, and we actually take the verse, we laminate it, just make a little business-sized card, and we put it right there in my dash of my car. Just to remind me, or put it on the corner of your mirror in the morning. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. When circumstances are overwhelming, come back to that verse and be encouraged. When you know God's character, who He is, His works, what He has done for you, you'll know that you can trust Him. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. As the church, we must be careful not to only tell the good stories of things that happen, but we also need to tell the challenging times when we felt far away from God, when we felt like He's silent, when we felt like we're in a waiting period and we're questioning. We need to share that honestly, just like Habakkuk did. We often hear the praises, but man, we need to hear the challenges too, because life in community needs to be about understanding how to struggle well. Do you hear what I'm saying there? Struggle well. How you face the obstacles, the circumstances, the difficult challenges. Are we struggling well? Because yet I will rejoice in the Lord. As we come to a conclusion, I want to end with a song that we're going to play. It's just got the lyrics on the screen. And so I want you to reflect on this. This is by one of my favorite artists. This is Lauren Daigle. It's called "O Lord." And it's a good summary, I think, of this book of Habakkuk. Because the ending of this is so beautiful. The complaints of Habakkuk were swallowed up by confidence. His fear was turned to faith. His worry was transformed into worship. His fear turned into faith. His terror becomes trust. His hang-ups are resolved with hope. And his anguish melts into adoration. Father, the words of that song are so applicable to this little tiny book in the Old Testament. Only three chapters. It's a very different type of prophetic book in that most prophecies are your word going out to the prophet and the prophet declaring it to the people. But here it's reversed. The prophet comes to you with questions, with complaints. But what we've learned in this book is that those are laments. The heart cry of deepening faith that Habakkuk is going through, where he questions when he doesn't understand, when there's faith needed in troubled times, and our hearts cry out. Lord, we may feel like that in times in our lives, or maybe right even now. Lord, will you hear our heart's cry? Because as we cry out to you, just like Lauren Daigle in this song, We have to wait, but we know that in time we will hear from you. Lord, may we trust in the planner. The person, the power, and the plan is so laid out so well in this prayer of Habakkuk that closes the book. Father, I pray that this short little study, this little book, will allow each of us to walk out of these doors as a different person, one that can trust the planner much more deeply, that will seek to look into your word much more in quantity, but also in depth, that will care about our word study, that revelation, that love story that you've written to us. May we seek it and may we apply it to our feet. And we pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
We are glad that you listened to the program we edited, and we hope you may let your relatives and friends know the web address of Living in Jesus, www.livinginjesus.org, and invite them to listen too. May more people believe in Jesus.